Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
So, all right, we've been in a series called Developing Authentic Community. I'm going to get a very abbreviated series today. And ladies, at least you think that I forgot that it was Mother's Day. I made all of my screens for you today. One of the attributes that we've been talking about that is really a foundational principle for authentic community is the early church understood that they lived in awe of Him as the biggest one in the room. And folks, that really comes out when we start dealing with each other, because if He's the biggest one in the room, then your ego really doesn't have any room to be. You know, and your opinions don't really have any place. Because if He's the biggest one in the room, then it only matters what He says. Amen? So that really keeps things balanced, and it keeps things in the place where they should be when it comes to developing authentic community, because if we develop a culture that wherever we are, whoever we're with, we always know that He's the biggest one in the room. And the second part of that is that He actually is in the room. It'll keep us aware of how we interact with each other, how we talk to each other. Would we say that to somebody? Would we speak that way to our spouse? Would we say that to the store clerk? Would we talk that way to the waiter or the waitress if Jesus was sitting at the table with us? The answer better be no. Because He is. So if we keep that as our culture and we develop that as our understanding, it will keep things where it's supposed to be, and that's the foundation of building authentic community, is that nobody in the community becomes elevated above anybody else. Now we're going to get into what the Word of God, the New Testament, talks about what the Bible calls the offices. You know, speaking of the pastor, the pastor, the evangelist, the prophetic, those kind of things. We're going to speak about those later, because it bears reminding that even though we're all part of the body, that Jesus put what Paul referred to as the fivefold ministry to raise up the body. So there is a level of honor there that needs to be understood. It's not, it's a little bit challenging dynamic, because while we're all a part of the body, there's a place of honor that we should give those that Jesus has set into the fivefold ministry. So, and it's a interesting balance. We're going to get into that later on in the series. But for now, let's just understand that He's the biggest one in the room. And quite frankly, I mean, that applies to, I don't care whether you're in the fivefold ministry or not, it doesn't give you a license to beat up the sheep. And believe me, I've seen that too. So just because, you know, a pastor stands in the office of a pastor or a prophet or an evangelist or whatever, a teacher, doesn't give them the authority. Paul said, the authority that I've been given to lift you, raise you up and not tear you down. So even Paul understood that. But all that's a part of authentic community. But notice what Jesus said in John 15:15. He says, no longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what the master is doing. I find that interesting, because when I read that, it almost seems like so much of the body of Christ lives right there. They're living like slaves, and because of that, they're completely clueless as to what Father's doing. In fact, Father will do things, and they'll say, no, that's not it. When they're just merely acting like slaves. But Jesus said, I'm not calling you a slave. And the reason I'm not calling you a slave, I'm calling you friends, is because all the things that I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you. And what is he saying here? What is he implying? Friends live in that connection. Well, the only way you're going to live in that connection is if you constantly are acknowledging that he's the biggest one in the room. And that he actually is in the room. What happens so many times in review is that we find that there are folks that are in the community of the local church, but because there's an unfamiliarity with him, they're more comfortable living by principles and practices. So that becomes their filter. And they filter everybody around them through those principles and practices. Right. And in fact, if you talk to them about moving out of the lifestyle of just living by principles and practices and actually get over into relationship, that freaks them out. Because they've found that they live by the principles and practices because it protects them from the world. So living by relationship, that freaks them out because then they have to be open, they have to be real, they have to bring all the walls down, and they have to risk being hurt. But folks, the entire gospel, the entire message, the entire word of God is only founded on relationship. If you try to pull it out of that arena, away from the foundation of relationships, and try to put it over into something that's completely not connected to him and relationship with him, all it's going to do is hurt people. I saw somebody make this quote, and I thought it was so fantastic. Because we often don't think about God in this light. And God told him this one time when he was spending some time with him. God says, I love what you love more than you love it. You know, we talked this morning about God as a protector, God as father, God as whatever. But you understand first and foremost, before he's anything else, he's God, he's father. He's relationship first. Everything else comes from that. And we often don't realize that, you know, when you have desires in your heart, we don't realize, because we've had religion tell us that if you like it, it must not be God. Well, if you want to do that, it must not be God. Because he's going to always send you someplace where you don't want to go just to test you. But that's not true. Because your Bible says he leads you by the desires of your heart. He puts desires in there and then he wants you to follow those and then he gives you the desires of your heart. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the originator of the desire and then he's the fulfillment of that desire when you step out on it. So for him to make a statement like this, I love what you love more than you love it, that's completely in line with his nature. In this verse, we looked at these verses last week, but I want you to pay attention to the pink writing. Hopefully it stands out a little bit better. This is 1 John 3:11. John says the message that was from the beginning was what? That we should love. That was the message from the beginning. That means there wasn't anything else. It was always been this message. It's never been anything but this message. Same letter. John said this in one chapter previous. He said, the one who is abiding in him, the one who's abiding in him walks in the same manner as he's walking. The one who's abiding in him is walking in the same manner as he's walking. Verse 7, beloved, I'm not writing a new commandment to you. Now notice what happens here. He said, I'm not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you've had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you've heard, which was what? Love. But I want you to notice what John does here. He shifts it from a commandment that can be done from a foundation of being unfamiliar with God over into that which is relationship tied. See, human beings, you can follow commandments and you don't even have to know one single thing about Father. You don't need to know Him at all. The word they had from the beginning was love. God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. That's a commandment. That was the environment that they had. They didn't need to know Him at all. In fact, the word says they didn't know Him. But they could do this by commandment. So John's saying, I'm not introducing anything to you that you don't already know, but I am showing you a different shade of this. Because we're going to shift from being commandment-oriented over to relationship-oriented. Notice what it says in verse 8 of chapter 2. On the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in Him and in you. What is he saying? This is built and founded on relationship, not on mere words. You had this commandment before, so it's not new to you, but it really is new to you because we're shifting from that kind of interaction to now what's true in Him is true in you because it's all founded on relationship, not nothing else. He says, I'm writing a new commandment to you, which is true in Him and in you because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. So based on this new relationship with Him and you, what's true in Him is true in you. Remember, he started this letter saying, my desire is for you to have the same level of fellowship with Him that we have with Him. So I'm telling you what I've seen and heard and what I'm continually seeing and hearing. Because my prayer is I want you to have the same level of fellowship with Him, with us. So everything's based on that. So he says in verse 9, chapter 2 here, the one who says he's in the light and yet is hating his brother is in the darkness until now. Verse 10. The one who loves his brother abides in the light. Everybody say abides in the light.
Abides in the light.
And there's no cause for stumbling. There's no cause for offense. What is he saying here? He's simply saying that if you're living connected with Him, there's nothing in you to cause you to take offense. Well, what does that mean? That means if you take one, you're not living connected to Him. In fact, John says you're living in the dark. I knew that'd go over well. But John is saying that. He's saying if you're walking in the light, then there's nothing in you that causes you to take offense. So in this letter that we call 1 John, that phrase, abiding in the light, he actually brings up the same exact principle in every single chapter, but he calls it something different. But it's all the same thing because it's all built on relationship. He says in 2 verse 10, he called it abiding in the light. In 1 verse 7, chapter 1 verse 7, he called it walking in the light as He Himself is. In chapter 2 verse 29, he called it practicing righteousness. In chapter 3 verse 14, he said you've passed into life if you're loving. In 3:18, he calls it love, loving not just in word, but loving in action and truth. You know what's so fascinating about that phrase? He says, don't just love in word, but love in deed and truth. Jesus said that the truth causes you to be free. Okay, so hold on. So what John is saying here, he's telling us that walking in the light as He's in the light, practicing righteousness, passing over into life because you're loving, and loving not just in word, but in your actions and from that place of that which keeps you free, What is loving people from a place of in your actions and from the place of that which keeps you free? What's that look like? Well, it obviously has to be coming from Him, because it comes from this connection, right? It also has to be coming from His vantage point about the other person. Jesus is basically telling you anything that comes from heaven will keep you free from anything that tries to latch onto you, like wrong opinions, wrong attitudes, wrong anything towards anybody else. It's the same thing that was said about if you're walking in the light, there's no cause for stumbling in you. So everything is based on relationship. Our relationship this way is only going to be as good as your relationship this way. And we can't sit there and say, well, I got a fantastic relationship with Him, you're the problem. Because that's not His vantage point. You see how this keeps you real honest, guys. There is no con job going on. That's the reason why so many places don't have authentic community, because they didn't realize that the Holy Spirit said all of this in John, in the letter of John. There is no way to fake this. Because every time we interact this way, it's going to reveal what's been going on behind closed doors this way. If we take offense, then we're not living this. Because John said, if you're walking in the light as He's in the light, there's nothing in you that's going to cause you to take a hold of an offense. Why? Because 1 Corinthians 13 says that the love that comes from Him keeps no record of wrong. Well, come on now. Does it say that or not? So we're either going to live out of our own fabricated love, which is good to a point, but it has boundaries, or we're going to learn to live from His love, and it has no boundaries. So then in chapter 4, verse 16, he calls what was called walking in the light. In chapter 1, chapter 2, practicing righteousness. Chapter 3, passing into life because you're loving. Chapter 3, verse 18, loving not just in words, but loving in actions and from the place of that which keeps you free from attitudes. Do you remember what Paul told the Corinthian church? He told the Corinthian church, he says, look, this is a Dan Olin translation. He said, look, you have an attitude towards me. You're reserved in your emotions towards me, but you need to understand something. That's not coming from me. That's coming from you. And then he says, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. He wasn't talking about getting married. He was talking about adopting the same attitudes and perspectives and sentiments that people in the world have. You shouldn't have those same attitudes and sentiments. See, this stuff keeps us real honest, because there's no way you can blame somebody else. It always is going to reveal what's going on here. What's going on here? Everything's here with Him. Chapter 5, verse 1, he says, whoever loves the Father loves the child born of Him. He's not suggesting that this is a good idea. He's telling you this is the effect of this reciprocation of loving Father. He's loving you first, you love Him back. He loves you, you love Him back. But His love is so potent and so powerful, it'll cause you to love everybody around you. Amen. So there's no yeah buts connected to this verse. He's simply telling you this is what this connection produces. Coming from somebody that said in chapter 1 that I'm walking in fellowship with Him and I want you to have the same level of fellowship that I have. So everything he's saying is coming from that experiential place of this is what I've heard and I'm still hearing. This is what I've seen and I'm still seeing because of my fellowship with Him. I want you to have that same level. Oh, and by the way, this is what that fellowship looks like. That if you're loving the Father, chapter 5, verse 1, whoever loves the Father, you're going to love the children of Him. So if we find ourselves in community and we find that that's not happening, then the best thing to do is not turn and blame the person next to you, but go home and shore up this. Because John is saying, if this is right, you're going to love those around you. Does that make sense? Chapter 5, verse 20. He says it like this again. He says, we know that the Son of God has come. And literally in the Greek New Testament is, and he's here right now. What's he saying? He's the biggest one in the room. And He's given us understanding so that we may be knowing Him, that we're in Him. This is eternal life. See, we've been talking about the same subject from chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, and all the way to the end of chapter 5. He finally caps it off and says, and oh, by the way, everything I've been talking about in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, up to this point, this is what eternal life is. It's not going someplace once you exit the planet. It's the nature of love that is Him that comes to you and through you when we connect with Him. It's all based on relationship. We made this statement, ladies, you'll love this picture. Happy Mother's Day. Our connection with Him will always be reflected by our connection with each other. I heard somebody say this, I thought it was fantastic, so I figured I'd put it in a quote. Because you'll notice that the verse we just got done reading in chapter 5, verse 20 of 1 John, John said, we know that the Son of God has come and He's right here right now, and He's given us understanding so that we may be knowing Him. He's talking about what is the purpose of revelation. Why does the Holy Spirit give you revelation? The Holy Spirit gives you revelation to bring you into deeper relationship with Him. It's not just for collecting knowledge. I don't know how many times in my lifetime as a pastor have I heard people say, well, I'm leaving this church because I'm just not learning anything, and I'm going to go someplace else where I can learn something. You're not on the planet to learn something. You're not here to collect knowledge. The reality of it is you're probably not walking in 99% of what you think you know. Because if you were, it would draw you up into relationship with Him. And He doesn't separate, He brings together. So this quote, it says this, having a deep relationship with God that includes authentic friendship will definitely lead us into sharing that kind of relationship and friendship with others. What is he saying? He's saying exactly the same thing John is saying. That if we're going to have deep relationship with God, or we say we have deep relationship with God, and it includes authentic friendship. Friendship being that Father shares things from Him with you. Then it's going to cause you to want to duplicate that around you. Not draw back. Not separate away from. Are you guys getting this? This has been so twisted up, guys, in what we've called church community, that it's no wonder nobody knows what Holy Spirit is anymore. Because we've had so much goofy junk all in the name of this is God. When John, the Holy Spirit through John was so clear on what Holy Spirit looks like and what He's not. If we have a connection with Him, whatever level of connection we have with Him, He's put the DNA in that thing is to cause you to want to duplicate that in everybody around you. So if the desire is not to do that, you don't really have that. Hello. So let's work on our fellowship with Him, getting to know Him, not our concept of Him. I've come to realize this, folks, that you can learn a lot of stuff with your Bible open. But you're going to learn things out there interacting with Him that you didn't know, and you'll never learn sitting on your couch, sitting with your DVD player on, sitting with your CD player. You're not going to learn the things that are relational in nature out there with Him unless you're out there with Him. There's a whole side of Him that we haven't even got because we like to just collect knowledge. And there's nothing wrong with loving to grow in the Word. But folks, He didn't design us to be one-legged. He designed us to have two legs. We learn from Him in private, but we also learn from Him out there. Do you notice Jesus didn't call the disciples and say, okay, boys, let's sit down. Everybody got your stone tablets? Okay, let's take some notes. There isn't any of that in here. It's all out there. Hey, go in that neighborhood, go to that city out there, and when you get there, you know, lay hands on the sick, cast out demons, freely you've been given, freely you receive, freely give. They didn't say, but we don't have any experience for that. I haven't learned my verses yet. They went, and as they went, and as they participated with Him, they learned things about Him. And they came back and said, man, even those bad boy demons are subject to us in your name. Why do we have a challenge getting finally, once and for all, settled in who you are in Christ? Because He never designed for you to get it looking at print. He designed for you to get it when you're out here in the streets with Him. And every time you walk in what you think you know, He solidifies it more and more and more and more. And every time He solidifies it, He's making you realize, I'm in Him. I'm in Him. I'm in Him. I'm in Him. This is where it gets solidified, not over here reading print. So having a deep relationship with God that includes authentic friendship will definitely lead us into sharing the kind of relationship and friendship with others. And then ultimately, relationship, or John calls it fellowship in chapter 1. He said, ultimately, our relationship or our fellowship with Him is the primary source and goal of getting revelation from the Spirit of God. It's all relational in nature. It's all based on relationship. Everything we get from Father is designed to not just cause us to collect more theology, cause us to know more things, cause us to think better. It's all designed for us to be drawn up into a tighter relationship with Him. Now, for the sake of time, I'm not going to go through the rest of this, because there's some review from previous weeks and then some discussion time. And we'll save that for another day. But what I want you to come away with on this is, what is this quote? Really? You can do this on the last screen. There you go. Oh, good. This last quote says this: Jesus spoke about the church. He had commissioned the disciples to build not a specific church, but churches of cities. How we've been talking about the fact that every church that you read about in your New Testament is a local church. There is no such thing as a universal church. Oh, you're going to switch back on me now, are you? There you go. Stay. It's all about local churches. Why is it about local churches? Because it's about churches of cities, a living organism of God's nature surrounding relationships. See, when Jesus spoke about the church, He was speaking of local churches that were going to cause and cultivate relationship at the center of why they exist. Now you understand why it's more comfortable for some folks to talk about it as a universal church, because you don't have to have a relationship in a universal church because you don't know anybody. And they don't know you. So now we're all safe. But yet we're still all babies, because nobody's in a position where they have to grow. And nobody's relationship is being tested, because if I'm never this way, you'll never know how I am this way. So it's pretty safe for me. Jesus never designed for us to live in our own little worlds, in our own little closets, in our own little lives, and never have this be challenged and revealed this way. This is where authentic community starts. Everybody stand up. I think we're done for today. Praise you, Lord. Holy Spirit, I just thank you for everybody in this room. I thank you, Lord, that your heart's desire is to draw us all up into your heart. But in drawing us all up into your heart, all of our walls, all of our protective mechanisms, all of our opinions cease to be of any importance. Because we're no longer fighting for legitimacy. Because it just comes from you. I ask that you'd open the eyes of our understanding and give us that spirit of wisdom, revelation flowing freely, that we would understand. If we're willing to let go of all these things that we've built around us to protect us from being hurt, that your love will do that for us. That your love produces a Teflon type quality, that we don't have to take offense. We don't have to worry about being stung. We don't have to worry about things that are being said, because we can just simply say, oh, you'd like me if you knew me. Because that's what you said. You said that to the entire human race when you set this whole plan up. It's all based on, you like me if you knew me. And we do. But thank you for being willing to go there before you found out whether somebody would or not. We give you permission in this body to create authentic community, and I understand that that we're going to have to let some guards down, but Father, I think it's worth it. And I believe everybody in this room wants to go there. So we give you permission, Holy Spirit, to have your way in our lives. If there's anything that we have elevated above you, being the biggest one in the room, I thank you that you'll show us what that is, and we'll promptly put you up there where you're supposed to be. And more importantly, I just thank you for the impact because of this that you'll have in us and with us and through us in this city. Because there are thousands upon thousands upon multiplied thousands of people that you simply say, you like me if you knew me. So let us go out there and represent you accurately. And everybody agreed that prayer said, amen. Amen. Well, ladies, have an awesome Mother's Day today.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.